occorre.
There's one last follow-up from last week's share. I want to mention it. We're trying to move into our next, not really a new topic, but almost related topic. Last week we were talking about, all the series of different gezeiros that the Rabbanan that were instituted as gezeiros shel yichta, that we were afraid lest the person write. We were discussing the malacha deraisa of ksiva, and we find the Chazal instituted a whole slew of gezeiros, activities that are usually associated with writing, lest the person comes to violate this is a deraisa. So one of them was the Mishnah of Maseches Beitz that talked about not getting married on Shabbos and Yom Tov, the Isser of a Mekash as the Isha for Shabbos and Yom Tov. We mentioned that there was Machlokes in Asher and Rebbe Tam, but this Isser lifted in a situation of a mitzvah. This is getting married for the first time, so it's a great mitzvah, Pirva Rivia. So Rebbe Tam was of the opinion that under those circumstances, Chazal lifted the Gezeira. And Asher says, no, the Gezeira still exists no matter how important it is. So we pass in. We really try to pass from like Rashi. That's where our custom is. We don't have weddings on Shabbos. Even first weddings, we wouldn't have on Shabbos. Even with Machon Berit Rivia. But there are more rites and the very, very extenuating circumstances. One can be made like Rebbe Tam. That was the famous story that we mentioned last week that happened in Krakow back in the 1500s, in the days of the Ramah, about that he actually was Masada Kedushin on a Friday night because it was a situation of a great, great Tzorech. In his Tshuva, when he defends his Pesach, so the Ramah throws in another reason the Hakel, another possible step of the Hakel. So there are more questions whether the Gezeira of Shema Yichta really applies by Kedushin with Manazeh. Why shouldn't it apply by Kedushin? So what's going to be written in a Kedushin? Lots is written about a Kedushin. Ksuba is written, Matron is written, a lot of documents are written at the time of a marriage. So the Ramah suggests that in the olden days, he thinks that it was the Chosim who did all the writing. The Chosim wrote out the documents. He didn't go to the store. Now go to Zedegas to buy a pre-printed Aksuba. Now we know the Sakedushin is a challenge. In the olden days, so it's like if I borrow money from you, so I read out the document. So the Chosin is being Mishabed himself to pay the Aksuba, starting to know other things. So it was definitely done by the wedding party people themselves. Whereas they think none of that's true. It's all pre-prepared. I mean, there are more than literally pre-prepared stuff, but there are most days it was by the Rabbanim more in charge of writing up the documents than the Chosin themselves. So said the Ramah, who said that the Gezeira was made on everybody? The Gezeira was made on Eva Kasha, the Isha. You are not allowed to get married, sure, but you are going to write. I can't get married because someone else is going to write. So we don't find that. Eva Kasha, the Gezeira is made to make him. And therefore, since the Derech Kasha is not to write the Shemar Ksubas themselves, maybe the Gezeira wouldn't deploy. So that's really a chidush to say that the Gezeira was only for me personally. Then the Ramah has to add on another chap to the skula. The only way for the skula to make any sense would be if we adopt the position of Tosfos Maseches Beitz that we spoke a little bit about in the shiur last night, Keshov Shirim, this is a very famous Tosfos at the end of Maseches Beitz, the Tosfos writes that the prohibition against clapping and dancing and all kind of musical accompaniments doesn't apply as much as that, because ain't on a mekibah play shiur, because we don't know how to make instruments. Most of us don't know how to fix our pianos and guitars, but therefore you're allowed to dance on Shabbos and Yom Tov, and there's nothing to be concerned if that fear doesn't apply to us. Ain't on a bekeepa klashia. But there are more bottles that idea and says, you see from that Tosfos that those gezeiros that are listed in Beitz, all these gezeiros are all lumped together. The gezeira against not playing music, the gezeira against not getting married, and all kind of different issues that are listed in the last Mishnah, not literally the last, but towards the last Mishnah, it's Maseches Beitz, but all speak about a whole slew of Yisurim derabanan, gezeira this, gezeira that, gezeira this, gezeira that. So you get the impression from Tosfos that these Yisurim may not apply if the reason doesn't apply. Now that Tosfos is a very, very loaded Tosfos, because generally, by Gezeiros Rabbanan, we don't say that. Generally, the starting point for Gezeiros Rabbanan is that they're made as a low plug, that you're not allowed to do it even if the reason doesn't apply. So that's already a highly controversial Tosfos. Many Mishnah will disagree with Tosfos, and even those who accept the Tosfos, the Acharonim explain why that Gezeiros is different, and the Svaras as to how do you know that Gezeiros is different. So it's a very, very big jump to start to apply that Tosfos to other gzeiros. We don't even understand the Tosfos itself. And to start to extrapolate from something that we don't understand, we're always asking for potential trouble. So therefore, this reason that the Ramah says was a little bit of an added bonus. The real reason why the Ramah was making was because he held that the Ikra Din, you can rely on Rabbeinu Tam, that the gzeir was never made b'tchila, the Makom Per Haridya, the Makom Tzarevel, the Makom Mitzvah Gedola. But as a yes is a, so the Ramah throws into this tshuva, this idea as well. It's interesting because this tshuva of the Ramah didn't go over well. As we mentioned last week, that many of his contemporaries disagree with him vehemently, and he prefaces his tshuva by writing that he's eini ruach b'shmach rai korash gadol. He said, I hear a lot of noise. He said, I hear a lot of complaining about my psak. I always say that if that psak would have happened today, so by the minute Abdullah would have been over, it would have been the bloggers would have been out, the messages would have been, social media would have been going crazy. And the Rabban described that he's any ruach hashmach rash gadol. Probably took months for the news to spread for 3 miles. So by the time somebody found out about it, the couple probably already had 2 kids. So whatever it was. So the Rabban says that there was a lot of opposition by other gadolim in Poland at the time to this psak. And that's why, as we mentioned, the end of the Shabbos, so that's why actually cracked away after that. So the institute of the minig not came out on Fridays anymore. And that minig, the best of my knowledge, stayed until the Holocaust. I think that was the minig in Krakow. That city in Poland, unlike other places in Poland, did not have weddings on Friday because of that controversy that had taken place 400 or 500 years earlier. So that was just the shirat of the story from last week. Now we move into the next part of our discussion of different isurim that were instituted in Zereshim Yichtov. And here we have to address almost like a sweeping prohibition called Nekech Umemker and Shabbos and Yontif. All kind of business activities are off limits on Shabbos and Yontif. Even those activities that they themselves don't have malacha per se, just the fact that their business and the buying and the selling transactions, all those things are outright asur on Shabbos and Yontif. Why are these things asur? So Rashi, in different places, writes different reasons. In one place Rashi writes, it's part of Zereshim Yichtov. It's just, it's the same old issur. It's the same reason why you can't get married, and you can't do business, and you can't do other things. Anything that's going to lead to a Nek Siva is automatically a problem of Zereshim Yichtov. And Rashi, in another place, he adds on another dimension to this. I don't know whether it's in the place, this is just two different reasons, but Rashi throws on another reason. Rashi says it's based on psukim that appear in the Navi Yishayahu. It's from the Haftarah for Shacharis, from Yom Kippur. We read about how you have to be careful in Shabbos, not just not to do malacha, but even the way you speak, even the things that you deal with, speaking about malacha, doing your personal, business daily pursuits are problematic on Shabbos and Yom Tov. And this is an issa midirbei kabbalah. So this is that appears in the Gimuk Sufim. So this is going to many even more serious than regular issa d'rabbanan. So any kind of business dealings is automatically going to be a violation of doing your personal kind of pursuits. So whatever the nature of the issur of business is, there's no question that all making chumemkes off limits at Shabbos and Yontif. Either it's part of the gezeira that we're talking about, Shem Yichtov, or it's part of a perhaps even more serious prohibition of Mimsechevtzchav and Nabed Dover. What exactly is included in this prohibition of mechumemke? That's a little bit trickier. So literally, every store open, buying and selling, that's the sure answer. The Ramban has a comment in Chumash in the Parashas HaMoadim, when the Torah speaks about the mitzvah of Yom Tov, Shabbos also being Shabbos, being a Tishbos, being a day of Shabbos Lashem. So the Ramban depicts a famous picture. He writes that a person in theory can run his whole business, you keep a store wide open and not violate any malacha. They'll have goyim working for him, everything will be done for Yachayad. They'll figure out every malacha will come his way. They'll figure out how to do it in a way that's only in the Rabbanon. So the Rabban writes that even though the person violated multiple Yisurim the Rabbanon, perhaps more serious than that is that he violated the Issa Deraisa Tishvos. And the Torah says that Shabbos and Yom Tov have to be clearly demarcated as days of rest. That they can't give off the impression of being business as usual. If you do activities in Shabbos and Yom Tov that create that aura, create that atmosphere, that it's like a regular weekday, even if you figure out a kunz, how to do it, quote unquote, the hetter in the Torah, you still violated the Issa Deraisa of Shabbos or of Tishvos. That's what some Sefer points out that if a person does that, if a person keeps the store open on Shabbos and Yom Tov, that's on Shabbos at least, so he has the status of Machal Shabbos of Hesia. Even though he doesn't do anything, he sits behind the store, he's sitting in St. Philip all day, sitting in Mabra Seder all day, sitting behind the counter, he has going writing for him, he's doing this, he's doing everything. Allah couldn't say what to do. He's Machal Shabbos of Hesia with the Raisa because he's in violation of Shabbos. Shabbos is also into Shabbos. There's an Isra of Losas Kimalacha. There's a Mitzvah essay of Shabbos, and a person flagrantly violates that mitzvah of Shabbos, and that also qualifies as a Mechal Shabbos and Pesach. Some of you may remember I told over a famous story that happened, one of my famous NCSY stories, is that there was a young man who asked one of his madrichim, and the madrich forwarded the question to me. It was back already 10 years ago or so, that this young fellow, this young man says, why are we becoming from? The process was just becoming Shem Shabbos, and his grandfather had bought tickets for the whole family to go to a college football game together on Saturday, to go on Shabbos to the college football game. And his grandfather very, very much wanted the grandson to come along. So the question was posed to him was, is that apparently he was able to walk to the game and he won't have to carry anything, he won't do anything. He's just going to go to a football stadium and sit with his parents and his grandparents on Shabbos. And they wanted to know, can we, under these extenuating circumstances, can we permit this? So I quoted this Ramban. I said that, you know, sometimes you have a situation at Shabbos where even though there's no particular issue that's violated, but the activity that you're involved in is so antithetical to Shabbos that that goof is a violation of Tishbos or Shabbos. And I said that even though it may be a very uncomfortable situation, I think that you really have to go, you have to really, really, you know, in a sense, be most effort for this, because to have a young, growing teenager who's becoming Shem Shabbos now and tell him it's in a football stadium on Shabbos because he carried his tickets to Kalei HaYada, I said, it just can't be. It's such a flagrant violation of this possible Chumash of Shabbos Lashem. I think that it's worth it to not succumb to that kind of pressure. It was very, 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 very weary about issuing a psak. It's always... It was very, very difficult when you have to deal with these family kind of situations, especially with children whose families are not yet from. It becomes very, very delicate. You know, obviously these have to be dealt with the most care and most respect and inheritance and kibbutz aim. But I try to explain to the madrich, I don't know who the boy was, explain to the madrich, explain to the young man that it has to be done with the most delicate and respectful tone, but that it's something that it just doesn't sit with his religious convictions right now. So, And you know, the story was dying. I gave the psalm. I'm trying to, whatever happened, happens, you know. I didn't really know that much rift that well. I definitely didn't even know the boys, I didn't know the boy's name. And I thought that was the end of the story. Several years later, I don't know, 5, 6, 7 years later, I was giving a shiur actually in Yeshiva Kotel. Dovi was, see, Dr. Fisher was, Dovi was supervising that shiur. It was a Thursday night, late Mishmar, and as I usually do on my Israel trips. And I was giving a shiur, and boom, for whatever reason, the shiur I was giving was about this Ramban. I was talking about the mitzvah of Tishbos and Shabbos and Mitzvah and Shabbos. So I mentioned the story, and a young man came over to me at the end of the shiur and told me he was the boy. That this boy was, this was 5 years later, he was now a Talmud in Shibra Kotel. And he asked him, I was afraid, yes, what was the end of the story? So he said, oh, all's well that ends well. He said that his parents were up the bathroom. His parents explained to the grandfather that this is something that's very meaningful to this young man, and he should please be mevater, he should forego the trip to the football stadium. Grandfather was understood, and all's well that ends well. Baruch Hashem, the young man, this goes already. The postscript of the story was already 5 years old, so I don't know when I forgot already who the boy was, so I don't know where, maybe the machine, I don't know where he is, but Baruch Hashem, Ramban made it carry the day. So back to that story. So the Ramban writes in his Parashat Chumash that if a person has regular business deals at Shabbos, business as usual, that's it, this is their Isa. If basically his door's closed and he's in shul and he's davening, he's learning and he just does one deal on the side or something, so that's not Tishbos. That's not a violation of Tishbos. Yeah, the imagery, the atmosphere, the environment of the Shabbos is basically being preserved, but he's in violation of the Isser D'Rabbanan. Okay, we're not advocating Isser D'Rabbanan, but that's not Tishbos. So the Isser D'Rabbanan is either the Isser G'zeir Shemichtav or it's the Isser of the Rikabalam, Tzachavtzach of the Dabedavar. So the entire picture of business as usual would be a deraisa, but just here and there, a little mechiras, a little chamemkos here and there, those would still be very seriously surim, albeit on a level of drabon or a level of inisimi debri kabbalah. What exactly is included in these yisurim of mechiras? So there are a few different transactions, the quote unquote transactions that we have to analyze. What does Allah say about giving matanos on Shabbos, giving gifts? Is that considered to be mechel memkar? What about being makdish things to Beis HaMikdash? What about dedicating things to shul? What about quote-unquote buying aliyahs, buying ataresa, those kinds of things? What about being mafka things, declaring things to be ownerless? So we have a lot of different things that have to be ironed out. Where they fall in terms of, are they violations of mechel memkar? And if so, are there any extenuating circumstances for some of these things? So when it comes to matanos, it would appear that that's a problem. That to give a gift on Shabbos and Yom Tov should be a problem. The only thing is that the Gemara seems to have an exception to this. The Gemara itself talks about situations of giving gifts to Shabbos and Yom Tov. A famous example, it's a Gemara in Masechet Sukkah, in the beginning of Masechet Kedushin, where the Gemara talks about giving a matalim laslahachzir for the purpose of fulfilling the mitzvah of Dalad Minim. Yom Tov Sukkah is also upon us as well. It's a din of kachta mechemiyah marisha on the first day of Yom Tov, which is the first 2 days. So we have to, in Eretz Yisrael, they don't have to worry about lachem this year, because the first day Shabbos, the second day is ready, regular Chol HaMoed. There's no little lachem at all this year. But in Chutz Lars, we have a little lachem mid the Rabbanon on the second day. We treat Rula Chumas on the first day. But with the rice on the first day, there's a little kachta lachem v'yamarisha, you have to own the Dalaminim. So the Mishnah tells a story, elaborates different cases, where somebody had a Dalaminim, somebody else didn't. We tell the story of Rabbi Gamliel and his colleagues were on a boat and they were going to Rome to go negotiate with the government in Rome, and they got stuck and they were on a boat of a Sukkis. So Rabbi Gamliel had a Dalad Minim with him, and the other Tanaim didn't have. So the Mishnah says Rabbi Gamliel passed it around to everybody to fulfill the mitzvah, and it was all given as a matan as tahachzir. Everybody gave it to the other person as a gift on the condition to return it. So the Rishonim bothered with the question: how can you do that? How can you violate the nisr of matana? Isn't that mekel memker? You're not allowed to do that just for the mitzvah. Why are you allowed to do that? So you see from here that the answer is that makom mitzvah is mutar. That you're allowed to give a matana on Shabbos and Yom Tov if it's for a makom mitzvah. The Mordechai in the second paragraph of Beitz quotes this in the context of Tfilas Kalim. The Mishnah says in Maseches Beitz that you're not allowed to tefil Kalim on Shabbos and Yom Tov. It's not 100% clear whether the Mishnah is talking about only kelim for tumah purposes or even what we call tefillas kelim for the mitzvah of buying kelim from a non-Jew. But whatever it is, you're not allowed to tefillas kelim on Shabbos and Yom Tov for a variety of reasons. They're all midrabanan. Everyone is a reason midrabanan. So the Mordechai talks about a famous question that a person realizes comes Friday night, they're about to sit down, they're about to make kiddush. They realize they forgot the type of the kiddush card. It's assuming it wasn't made in Eretz Yisrael. It's made in Eretz Yisrael, bought from a Jewish store all along, that it definitely doesn't have to be titled. Let's say they have a glass, they have a silverware. All of a sudden, they're sitting down, they realize they're out, but we forgot to tovel all our silverware. So what do you do? So you can't tovel on Shabbos and Yom Tov, because the Mishnah ain't tovelin, and we're machmer, and that applies even to what we call today Tfilas Kalim. The reason why some Rishonim say it doesn't apply to our Tfilas Kalim is because one of the reasons why Tfilas Kalim is also is because it's a Mexican Masach, it looks like you're fixing. It means the pot is broken. So when I tovel it, now it's fixed. It used to be unusable, now it's usable. Some Rishonim said that makes sense by Tumah V'Tahara, because if I have a tummy pot and it touches food, that food becomes tummy. So the pot has a negative impact on the things that it comes into contact with. So it's considered like broken. When I'm talking about that, fixing it. Tfilas Kalim for us, the mitzvah that the Mishnah records at the end of the Sefer Dezar, that has nothing to do with Tumah. We're all tummy anyway, we're still tummy. So why we tovel our pots and pans in a silverware? That's for a mitzvah of Tfilas Kalim. That's a machlokes, that's a derais, that's a derabbanan. There's a Mishnah, the end of it says, Medizar speaks about Tfilas Kalim, and Kalim HaKoch Min HaAkum. But that Tfilas Kalim doesn't really impact the Kalim. Let's say by mistake, I cooked a soup in a pot that wasn't tovel. So the food's still kosher. If I cook food in a pot that wasn't kosher, that's a more serious problem. If the pot wasn't tovel, then you can tell, look, Tfilas Kalim doesn't impact kashrus per se. Tfilas Kalim is a mitzvah, but it doesn't have any negative repercussions for the food. So that's what some Mishnah say, that maybe the gezeira of not the tovel, because it looks like you're fixing something broken, maybe that doesn't really make any sense in the context of our tefillas kelim. That's already a question. The ma'isa we paskin, our practice, we don't do tefillas kelim on Shabbos and Yom Tov. So the Mordechai says, that guy's in a pickle, he's got his whole set of silverware. How's he going to tovel the silverware? If Shabbos and Yom Tov, I mean, you can't use it. The din is that you're not allowed to use kelim that weren't tovel with. That's the end of Maseches of Avodah Zarah. The Mark of Zabrai said that doesn't say mamish black and white, but 99% certain says it, that there's a prohibition to use a kli that wasn't titled yet. Yet it doesn't impact on the food with the yet, but there is an issue establishes the kli. So that's a further shot of that Nisad Yerai says that Nisad Derabonim. Maybe the issue establishes is under the Rabbanim, maybe it's also Yerai, that's really a loaded Chutzpah's Kalim question. But the bottom line is it shouldn't be used in the Kalim until the Tovel. For some posts, you're a little bit more lenient if it's not your kli. That's really a whole another complicated story. But the bottom line is the starting point is you're not supposed to be using kelim that weren't tovel. So now the guy's mom should pick him. It's Friday night. He's not allowed to tovel them. And he's not allowed to use them without toveling them. And he has nothing to eat with. So what's he supposed to do? So the Mordechai writes in the Sefer Beitz, Leis Bereira. So what you can do is you can give your kelim as a gift to a goy. Because if you give your kelim as a gift to a goy, then the Gemara says at the end of the Zara, the kelim don't belong to you anymore. if the kelim don't belong to you anymore, so they're goyis kelim, so then, strangely enough, you're allowed to use them. The mitzvah tefillas kelim applies if it's a kli that was owned or made by a goy, that's now owned by a Jew. But if it was made by a goy, it's still owned by a goy, so then there's no mitzvah tefillas kelim at all. So that's what the Mordechai writes, that you're stuffed, you're in a pickle, so you're allowed to give all your kelim as a gift to the non-Jew, and then ask them to please borrow them back. And then you can eat it. You would have them dead. It's a Shabbos. Shabbos is over. The other is over. Then you should take them back. And you should go to the mikveh and table them. So the Ramah writes, quotes this Mordechai in the Bichus Tzilus Kelim. He writes that the same would work if there's no mikveh around. The Ramah writes that if you live in a place, there's no kelim mikveh. Until you're going to get the next kelim, it'll take you another 6 months. So what are you going to do? So the Ramah writes that there's no kelim mikveh around. So then you're allowed to sell the kelim or give them as a gift to a goy and then borrow them back and use them until you get to a mikveh. You get to a mikveh. You have to get it back from the non-Jew, and then you travel them again. So this emergency measure is acceptable both on Shabbos and Yom. That was the original source of it, of the Mordechai that says Beitza. And there are most extrapolation to a situation where there's no mikvah. Those of us remember not that long ago when we didn't have kelim mikvahs that were functional, the kelim mikvahs were closed. So we had to invoke this Ramah. So those who remember back Pesach time, so we had this whole fancy Mechiras kelim that people had bought a lot of new things for Pesach and weren't able to get to the kelim mikvahs. So we arranged for them a Mechira online with a non-Jew that we'll share about this on Pesach time or so, about how to finagle this Mechira to make this Mechira work. Just as a reminder that those who did these kinds of Mechira before Pesach really should get those kelim back at this point. The kelim mikvahs, Baruch Hashem, are open now. And Tina can still make a reservation for them, but they're still they're available for use. So anyone who sold any kelim should get them back. The reason why I didn't, the way to get them back is if you go back on the Base of America's website. So they have these weekly buybacks or something. And you have to take a look and see. Look up Base of America reverse tefillas kelim form or something, whatever it is. You have to email all the information, who you want, what you sell, whatever it was. And then just get it, then go back to your old emails from April, and then there's a reverse form to buy the kelim back, and then when you buy the kelim back, you take them to the mikvah. The reason why I didn't publicize it yet is that I have a feeling that 99% of the people's stuff was all the Pesach dishes, that most people who had to avail themselves of this technique in March and April, it was all the Pesach stuff, so the Pesach stuff was just really sitting in a closet somewhere. The last thing a guy wants to go do now is go unpack his Pesach dishes, and to go to table them. So that's why I didn't want to drive everybody crazy now. So I'm going to put somebody in charge. I think, Ron, put you in charge. I see a face on the screen. Put you in charge. You got to remind me about 2 weeks or so before next Pesach. We hope and pray everything will be in a better state than we are right now. So Mez Hashem, 2 weeks before next Pesach, got to remind me to put out in shul announcements that anyone who sold anything to the non-Jews last Pesach should now got to get the forms working to get them resold back to us, in order to enable everyone to do tefillas kelim, okay? Those are other kind of like chumash tefillas kelim, if they sold it as part of that mechir that we arranged 6 months ago. So I should check online to go figure out how to get to solve this problem.
You also had an idea about giving a matana. If you give it to someone as a matana and he gives it to you, or even if he pays it to you and gives it as a matana to use it. To temporarily.
Right, so it's not really a matana. So you're giving it to him as a matana, and now you're borrowing it back from him. So you have to be careful that you're not getting it back. If you're getting it back as a gift, then it becomes yours again. So,
right.
So chol zman that there's no mikvah, it should still be as a borrowing back. Once the mikvah becomes available, then you have to mamash get it back from him.
Now, what happens if you don't remember? I mean, some of these things are not major things, like this small items that get lost in, let's say, forks or knives. You know, you don't know which one it is now.
No, but I think people generally, I think this was generally for the most part, this was for people who were buying like whole new sets of stuff, you know, before Pesach, pots and pans. So I think 99% of the stuff was Pesach stuff. So I think basically what you could do is you have to go back to emails. You have to go check your email. Everyone, there's a record of everything, because everybody who did these kind of mechiras back in the March time, everything was in an email. So there are records of any stuff that went through the Beis Din of America's, Mechir, their website. There should be a record of everything. They have a record. We have a record. Everyone should have their own record. Just check your old emails. So if you find anything that looks like a Mechira from that period of time, well, then at some point when you're ready to acquire the kelim back, you should fill out the reverse email, right? If anyone has any particular problems with it, we'll try that. Again, the reason why I didn't want to stop making a whole tool about it, because I have a feeling that for most people, it's more the Pesach stuff than their regular stuff. anyone's like the swamping the Caleb for now. People on new, I don't think most people before Shoshana are interested right now in unpacking the Pesach dishes to go make a reservation for the Caleb for right now. So I think we'll kind of hold off in terms of that. Anyway, back to the story. So it all started with this Mordechai. And Mordechai says to Meitzah, you can do this on Shabbos and Yom Tov. So the Mordechai asks on himself, how can I sanction doing this on Shabbos and Yom Tov? Isn't this giving a matana? Isn't giving a matana problematic on Shabbos and Yom Tov? So the Mordechai says, no, there must be the Mokal Mitzvah lifted. That, and he brings a Raya from Esrik, from Tanas Achzer, that obviously Chazal lifted this prohibition from Mokal Mitzvah. The question is that really true? Did Chazal lifted the prohibition of making a Mokal Mitzvah? Really? That's not true. I have a Svarim store. I wanted to make Svarim store open on Shabbos. I'm only selling Svarim, not Mitzvah. So that doesn't make any sense. That's not true. I keep my food store open, I keep my bakery open. I'm selling challahs for Lechem Mishnah. I have a wine store. I'm selling wine for Kiddush. You keep your store open on Shabbos because you're doing things with Mokal Mitzvah. It's ridiculous. Never heard of such a thing. So what does the Mordechai mean with that? So the Yochai Shulchan explains what he must mean is as follows. That the Mordechai is not talking about real Mechichah Memnah. He's talking about matanos. He's talking about gifts. The Estrig was matanos lahachzir. The Mordechai is talking about giving a gift. The guy's not paying you for the real, I mean, in our Mechiru that we did, so the non-Jew was actually mamish paying us. He was paying us a damn nickel, whatever, quarter, whatever it was, for the Caleb. We had to do that because we had to figure out a mechanism of kinyanim that would work halachically and legally. But let's say when people sometimes avail themselves of this kula, they give it to the next door neighbor, they give it to the non-Jewish woman who works in the house. They just give it to us as a matana. So I have a couple of Caleb in my house that were problematic in terms of toolless Caleb, sort of electric things, if they're going to break, that kind of stuff. The post can write, if you have a kli that you can't toivel, so then it's better to give it to a non-Jew and then bow it back. So Henry, I think your friend owns a couple of odds and ends in my kitchen. So I think we have some things over the years that have been owned by some of our non-Jewish acquaintances. So comes the Aruch HaShulchan and writes, these are all derech matana, there's no mechiri here, there's no mechiri, no one's buying and selling, no one's keeping track. This is all derech matana. So Aruch HaShulchan writes that matana really shouldn't be also in Shabbos. There's really no reason why you should be also to give a matana in Shabbos. If you think about the different reasons that prohibited having your store open, the reason why business is also, is there a Shem Yichto. Who's writing down my matanas? By sales, so then I understand. I sell you something, very often you don't have the money to pay for, I'll write it down on credit, I'll keep the track, I'll write a receipt or something. So when I'm buying and selling, this is a Gezerah Shem Yichto. Or when I'm buying and selling, that's what I'm saying. That's chafotzim. That's a business pursuit. That's a weekday activity. Giving a gift, I'm bringing you a sefer, giving you this, little gifts, things like that. So those things are not really mechichah memkar. Those things are not really included in mechichah memkar. So why are they also all together? They're also because they smell a little bit of mechichah memkar. They smack a little bit of mechichah. They look a little bit like mechichah memkar. So they were a very low-level issur d'rabbanan that was added on as kind of, as an extension of the real. The real issur of Shem Yichta, the real issur of Tzachef Tzacha applies to selling things, your store, your business, that kind of stuff. Situations where there's neither Shem Yichta nor is it Tzachef Tzacha, which really are not also anyway. There are also this Chazal kind of lumped them in together with a little plug. So under those lower-level issurim, then we find the Hetem Baka Mitzvah. We don't find the Hetem Baka Mitzvah to go to a store and buy an Esrig on Sukkos. There's no way. We don't find that an Esrig deal is open on Sukkos. The Esrig deal is closed shop by Erev Sukkos. Why can't they sell you the lulav of Esrig on Sukkos? So the answer is, just because Chazal permitted to give a gift of lulav of Esrig on Sukkos doesn't mean we can extrapolate that you're allowed to sell a lulav of Esrig on Sukkos. The Baka Mitzvah, yeah, a tonne, but not necessarily real. That's your Chashukun's beer in this book. So again, so we do permit the giving of gifts on Shabbos and Yom Tov, provided that there is a real Mokal Mitzvah, a real Tzach Shabbos, a real enhancement of something that will occur. We always run into this issue when it comes to Bar Mitzvahs. We are many Ganashul, many shuls that give a Bar Mitzvah boy a gift. So we usually call the boy up right before the end of the drasha, and I give a whole presentation. So we present to the Mishnah Berurah. How do you do that? And give him a Mishnah Berurah, send a Mishnah Berurah. The answer depends. If it's a Mokal Mitzvah, then it would be permissible. I mean, if I really knew that the boy is going to open up the Mishnah Berurah and start shagging away and open up Shavisa Shemun Negin Samar Siman Aleph and start learning and get here, that would be great. That would be wonderful. So then I have no qualms giving him the set of Mishnah Berurah on Shabbos itself. And Mokal Mitzvah is no worse than the Lubnesim, no worse than the Caleb. But I know the boys are busy and you know, other things going on and they're in a big day of their life and bar mitzvah. But it's possible the boy may not get to opening bishvur till the Mutzah Shabbos. It's possible they may not get to learning that Shabbos. We'll be so busy learning Zosvar, we didn't get a chance to learn this Sefer. So we don't want to be nichshol and in the Yisr of giving gifts on Shabbos that are not really tzarf, they're not really a mitzvah. So it's for this reason that the Poskim recommend that what a person should really do is they should give the gift to the bar mitzvah boy maybe Yod Yom. They should give it to him that belongs to him beforehand, and then we take it back for the ceremonial handing off of the sefer on Shabbos, so that we still do. But it should technically belong to him from beforehand. How do we get it to technically belong to him from beforehand? So it's easy. So either you hand it to him, or you hand it to the kid himself, he should be zayich on it, or you do zayich lem shel b'fanav. Then I give it to somebody else, and you give it to somebody like we do after shilah and chaserus. You hand it to somebody else to pick up on behalf of the bar mitzvah boys. That's usually what I do when I know there's a bar mitzvah. We haven't had a bar mitzvah in shul in a while, but when I have a notice of bar mitzvah, so I usually leave the mishabura out. I'll take it out sometime for Shabbos. Leave it on my chair. That way, hopefully, by the time mincha rolls around on Friday afternoon, I'll remember to be mizachet. On many, many occasions, I think Ron, you may have been the recipient of one or two of those chiz because you sit very close to me. So it's usually the person closest to the rabbi when he forgets, closest to Shabbos, to try to do that. Sometimes I have to chatan and ask, you know, sometimes I forgot the gamrin. So what do? Well, you forget, so the poskim right, and you're stuck. So you give it to him and you have in mind that you're not being mocked at him yet. You're just lending it to the bar mitzvah boy for now. I don't think you have to make a whole sipur in front of the whole shul to announce that you forgot to be mezakeh to him, and you just have in mind that you're not really being in a sense mezakeh to him. I always have the question about who exactly can I be mezakeh if to? Who can be zeich on behalf of the kid? So any person in Israel, anyone can be zeicha. Is a shayla about can use a relative of mine, someone who's it's called Samach al Shulchan Ovid, someone who's in my immediate family who's being supported by me. So do I have a right to give them something to be zeicha for something anybody else? That's a whole sugya. That's Arab in Mabitzia. Now zechia means that Reuven gives something to Shimon, Shimon should pick it up on behalf of Levi. Reuven can't take something out of his right hand and give it to his left hand. That's zechia. So if I give something, let's say, to my wife, you pick it up to be zoich with somebody else. That's not so partial that works, because my husband and wife, the same pockets, same finances. But if I give it to my son, I give it to my daughter. So if there's somach al shulchan avi, so then that may be a problem. If it's already a married child who's self-sufficient, they'll be on their own, they come to visit a little bit, they may take some treats out of the refrigerator, out of the freezer every once in a while, but they're still, basically self-sufficient. So then they can be zoich on behalf of them. As the Rav, we always have this issue because sometimes during the course of the year, I have to zak certain things for people, either whether it's bar mitzvah gifts or it's the era of tashilim for the whole community or the era of chatzeros or pesach. So you have to always scrounge around and look for somebody to be zoich. It shouldn't be somebody who's part of your immediate family. This was an issue this past Erev Pesach, when we do the Erev Chatzeres, we do the Erev Chatzeres every couple days for Pesach. So the Shia that was raised when we were born in the RCBC, we have multiple Erev in different communities, different crossover communities, like that. So there are multiple different Erev that are done throughout Bergen County. So the Shia was, who are we going to be Mizaka and Matzahs to this year? Because this year, if you guys were Pesach, people were not really in the mood of going knocking on next door neighbors and handing things over. So again, this is the height of Corona. So we didn't really want to be mezakeh. So the question was, should we just tell them to be mezakeh to their own wives and their own children and rely on 2 days in Rishonim, whether you can do that? So we didn't air when we passed the Hokel. So should we just rely on that coolant and call it a day? I thought it wasn't so necessary to rely on it. We stopped relying on that cool, but I think it was so necessary. I said, you can still do it in a way that's perfectly safe. And so what we did in the Bergenfield, I was mezakeh the Erev Chatzeres to one of the next door neighbors, but I didn't hand it to them like I've done in the past. So I called them on the phone and told them, okay, I'm walking across the street, you come out of your house, I'm going to put the box of matzahs down on the floor, and I'm going to walk away, and then when I walk away, you pick it up. You don't have to. It's not a gift, but also the other. You don't need to get the clear Erev Chatzeres, I got a car, I can work for this also. And then I realized I don't even have to really even have them there. I can just literally put them in their backyard also. I could have done that also. Put them in their front yard, put it onto their property, and tell them I have in mind to be Zoyfa for everybody. That could have worked also. But whatever, the SSA, so we had them pick it up. It was back in April. I remember everyone was 20 feet away from each other with masks and gloves. We were in that kufa. So the Erev Chatzeres was with surgical gloves. We were handling from one to another. You know, we put down in the middle of the street to avoid any issues in terms of zechiyah. And some of the rabbanim didn't want to do that, so they probably just did a zechiyah with the wives or the kids and shayim and nikur. Then we passed it. That's also good zechiyah for the community. Anyway, so back to the story. So we try whatever we can to avoid giving matanos and shops and yavam, unless that's machometz, and then it's okay. And the reason why it's probably okay is that it's not an outright violation of mechel memgar. It's more of a ke'ein, like a quasi mechel memgar. And we have mechel mitzvah chazal lifted this as mechel mitzvah in the next year. So we'll try to talk about other kinds of tzedakas and hektashias and again, donations to shuls. We should try to get this year before some Torah, because that's when we violate all these dinim. Well, that's when we figure out a way how to do these things with our chata. But I'm not sure what the schedule will be in terms of the next couple of Sundays. So next Sunday, obviously, we're not going to have this year's Rosh Hashanah. And then obviously, Sukkot and Mosar not this year. That in between Sunday, between Rosh Hashanah and Kippur, so I think that Sunday between Rosh Hashanah and Kippur is going to be Rosh Kippur. I don't know. That will to be determined whether that year will be on that morning. We'll see. I guess on the one hand, it's a short slicha, so there's plenty of time. We'll figure it out. We'll play with it. Okay? All right, good. Okay, March 7, 2021, 3 weeks ago, Pesach, good. Put on a reminder about Tefillas Kelim. Good move. Okay, great. I wish you a little time. I'm sure we'll be healthy by month 7. Hopefully before month 7, we should be healthy. Thank you.